Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology.
So, hey, before this got to be a rumor that people repeated, I confirmed with another source that apparently it was not a barge strike that affected the ferry over in Bayou La Batrie. Instead, it was a tugboat. And it was not a collision. It was like a paint, you know, they kind of swap paint, you know, just kind of barely rubbed against each other. Not even a source of a delay. So the mayor's report that it was a barge strike that caused damage appears not to be correct. And as the person who was telling me is like, just paint, man. Rubbin's racing. And I was right in the middle of putting up this funny Facebook post about barges again. Well, turns out not to be the case. So we move on. 810 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hey, joining us now, we're doing this ongoing series of, you know, the authors who are writing these columns for the Pensacola News Journal about the 200th anniversary of Escambia County. Very interesting stuff, and I wanted to make sure to feature this on the radio. So every week when the article comes out, we always like to have the author. This week's column was by Erin Renfro. She is a researcher at the West Florida Genealogical Library. Erin, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, great to have you. So now your article is a little bit different from some of the other ones, but it's another slice of what's coming up to the 200th anniversary. You were focused on figuring out who was really here, trying to identify who was actually present during the changing of the flags on July 17th of 1821, right?
Yes, and it was a wonderful project.
So what was involved in figuring this out? I mean, it's hard to find something from 200 years ago and get all the documents. What was involved in it?
Oh, well, there was a lot of research. Of course, a lot of the libraries were closed, so I couldn't delve into the archives, the physical archives, as much as I wanted. But luckily, there are a lot of things that are digitized these days. So I was able to go into a lot of the old newspaper records. I also had a published book that is just amazing by William Coker. That is the 1820 census of Pensacola, and we're so lucky to have those records. And then, of course, Virginia Shelby, who is my teammate on this project, has her own personal history that stretches back 200 years in the area. So she was able to just look into her trove of genealogical records, and that really got us started on who was here. And you know, anytime I read an article about the time, I was jotting down names, and one thing led to another, and soon I had 2,000 people in that database, which is just fantastic.
And I thought it was fascinating reading the article. Some of the very familiar names, people who were either here or were close by, tell us about some of those sort of, you know, very well-known family names that have even become, you know, street names and sort of legacy names in the Pensacola area that were present at that time 200 years ago.
Well, that's, of course, the first name that pops to mind would be the Gonzalez family. Excuse me, Manuel Gonzalez was a rancher out in the area that is now known as Gonzalez, and he hosted Andrew Jackson when they first got to town. Andrew Jackson was reluctant to come into Pensacola until he had official orders, so he and his troops camped out on Manuel Gonzalez's property. And actually, Manuel Gonzalez actually owned the property on which the transfer took place downtown.
Huh.
And, of course, the Bonifays were here. You hear that name a lot. And the De La Ruas, they were here. And some of our Creole families, the Collins and the Quiclaces, were here as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of names that will show up in this database that will be familiar to residents.
Well, tell me, what did they do? I mean, you know, it's interesting to hear that they were here, but like the Gonzalez, that's fascinating to me. Like, what did some of these other families, you know, what they were here, but what were they in, what was their endeavor? What was the scope of their presence?
Well, the Gonzalez's were ranchers, and they owned quite a bit of land. A lot of these folks, though, were connected with the Spanish military. Because at the time, they were still trying to keep control of this area. So you'll see a lot of people that at one time or other served in what they called the Louisiana Regiment. You know, a lot of these folks came over from Louisiana after the Louisiana Purchase. So there were people that were connected with the Spanish government and the military. There were also quite a few merchants. And then, of course, there was a very large population of free people of color who had either been previously enslaved or who were people who had been free people of color for generations. That was not unheard of in Spanish Pensacola. And they were, you know, seamstresses, laundresses, shoemakers, you know, anything that needed to keep a town going.
And now, so I know in the article it mentioned that, for example, some of the non-white household members were not counted, okay? Mm-hmm. Obviously, enslaved people were not counted. But, like, among black residents in the area, who was not counted, mm-hmm. and how did that factor into your, you know, excavation to figure out who was here?
Oh, it was very difficult. Yeah, the only people of color who were given names in this census were people who were free.
Okay.
So they were either working as servants in a household or they were living on their own. Enslaved people were not named, and so, but we knew they were there. Obviously, the 1819 census of Pensacola, for which we just have numbers, we don't have any names at all. There were hundreds of enslaved people living in Spanish Pensacola. So I did have to dig into wills and deeds and other sort of legal documents to find out names. And unfortunately, a lot of times we only have first names. It's difficult to tell whether they would have used a surname or which surname they would have used given their history. So, but we did manage to come up with a couple of dozen first names in at least the household they were living in at the time. So that feels like a triumph in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, given the scarcity of information, but also what a sobering reminder of who was even considered worthy of counting, who was considered worthy of mentioning, who counted as a person 200 years ago. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you, Aaron, is you're working on a project. It's called, the Pensacola Sampler, which is going to feature some of the connection with these people, right?
Absolutely. And what we are doing is collecting the photos, head and shoulder photographs of current residents of the Pensacola area. And we certainly welcome not just city of Pensacola, but Escambia County, Santa Rosa, Alabama, because the 1821 population was spread out all through West Florida. And they can register their name, and then there will be sort of a mosaic of faces. And when you click on a face, they will be matched with an 1821 resident. So any of the Pensacola News Journal articles that are online will have that link that you can click on and participate in this project. And
we certainly
want everyone. We have children, we have people of all races, we have military, anyone that you would like to sort of sign up to represent, we can match you up.
Yeah, so people today can basically be a visual stand-in for somebody from the past, since obviously we don't have pictures of very many, if any, of those people before photography.
So,
we might have a painting would be about the best that we could do. Well, that's a really cool project. We'll look forward to that link when that goes live. Aaron Renfro is a researcher and a volunteer at the West Florida Genealogical Library. Aaron, thanks for the time this morning. Thanks for the project, and thanks for contributing to our awareness of our history here in Escambia County.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.